Well, there were two brothers who were known as troublemakers. And no, it is not a personal story about my own life. Their names were Marvin and Richard. Yeah. And we'll continue to call them Marvin and Richard. And their parents just didn't know what to do with Marvin and Richard. They were causing trouble all the time. So the parents decided one day they were just going to have the boys sit down with their pastor. And their pastor would have a talk with them. So the pastor sat down with Marvin, and he started talking, and the pastor just looked at Marvin for a while. And after a while, the pastor said to Marvin, "Marvin, where is God?" Marvin sat there silently. He didn't know what to say in response. And a little more time went by, and the pastor spoke a little more powerfully, a little more with gusto, and he said, "Marvin, where is God?" And Marvin started to stammer a little bit, and he started shaking his legs, and he didn't know what to do. He just sat there and panicked. And then the pastor waited a little bit longer, and he almost yelled at Marvin. He said, "Marvin, where is God?" And Marvin, not knowing what to do, he got up out of his seat, and he just took off running down the hall of the church. He went down out the front door, ran down the street to his home, ran upstairs to his brother Richard's room, and he shut the door behind him, and he said as he was panicking, "Richard, we got to be careful. God is missing, and they think we did it." Where is God? Is there any place that God is not? Where can we go that God is not? God is everywhere. We use the fancy word omnipresent. He is at all places, at all times. But there are times that it feels like God is absent, isn't there? There's times when it feels like God is hiding from us. The psalmist even said, "Lord, why do you hide your face from me?" So yes, I believe God is always present. But at times, it feels like God is hiding, doesn't it? Well, today I want to look at this passage of Scripture from Romans 8, and this is some of my favorite Scripture in all the Bible, folks. Some of my favorite. And I want to look at this and see how God's love is with us at all times, even though at times it feels like God's not with us. And today I want to look at three different areas that I've looked out of the Scripture. I want to see how God is working for us, God is working through us, and God is working with us. That's all one point. Might be a long sermon. I want to see that God is the ultimate teammate. And third, I want to see that we are more than conquerors in Christ. So let's begin by looking at God working for us, through us, and with us by turning to Romans chapter 8, verse 28. Now, I believe, Mark, I'm going to guess that you read the Scripture today from the NIV. Is that correct? If we look at this Scripture, I mean, this is great Scripture, Romans 8:28. Who hasn't been reassured by this at some point in their life? I think it's very helpful for somebody like me who hasn't gone through a lot of difficulties, through a lot of stresses, to look at Romans 8:28 and say, yes, that's where God is. And you may have memorized Romans 8:28 like I did from the King James Version, because when I grew up, that's what version we memorized. It was the King James Version. Let's just read this together as a congregation. "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God." The King James Version makes it sound like everything in our life is a puzzle piece that God has made. And that God fits these puzzle pieces together in some way for the greater good. And as we look at the individual puzzle pieces, it may not look that good, the individual pieces, but when you put them together, then you see the big picture. And now we can see the good. And as I said, for somebody like me that hasn't experienced a lot of trauma and a lot of tragedy in their lives, this is reassuring. But I've heard stories about many well-intentioned ministers that take the Scripture and they try to apply it in times that they shouldn't. It's detrimental to people's faith. I heard a story about a pastor who had a young lady who was giving birth from his congregation. So he went to the hospital to be with the family. And the baby was taken away from the mother as soon as it was born because there were some issues, and the baby passed away a couple hours later. And the pastor comes up to the new mother, and he says to her these words from Romans 8:28. He said, "We know that all things work together for good." mother said through tears, get out of my room. And she never went back to that church. All things work together for good? This is a good thing? When I read this scripture, I think of a friend of mine. And he's going through a really difficult time right now. He's going through a divorce, and he doesn't want to be divorced. He wants to be married. And he's had all sorts of issues going on with depression and feeling of like he's left out of the loop, like he's lonely. And then on top of this, his sister is going through a divorce as well. He recently found out that his sister's husband beats her and has beaten on her since before they were married. And then just last week, he found out that his grandfather passed away. And this is one thing after another for this guy. I mean, I'm starting to think he is the modern-day Job. Am I supposed to tell him, hey, buddy, all things work together for good for those who love the Lord? I mean, this is a man of faith. But he's a man of faith that's struggling right now. And he said that this is just a piece of a puzzle that God's putting together that will one day be more understandable to you. I think that would be detrimental to his faith. As I anointed six people on this front pew about half an hour ago, if I told you that the things that you're struggling with are working together for good, I can see that that might be detrimental to your faith as well. So we need to be careful how we use Romans 8:28. For those who are going through difficult times in their lives, this is maybe not the most helpful thing we can do for them. But thankfully, we do have different versions of the Bible that I think help us to better understand what Paul was trying to say. And this is what Marvin read for us a few minutes ago. This is from the NIV. It says, "And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love Him." God is not the one that is causing these bad things. God did not predestine these puzzle pieces that are our lives that are being assembled for the ultimate good. But God is working through these things. God is there with us through these difficult times. God is helping us, holding our hand. And God is trying to bring something good out of our current struggles. I think that is much more helpful than thinking that God is the causer of bad things. I think that's bad theology to say that God causes bad things to happen. But God uses these things. God is in all things and working for the good for those who love Him. And I ran across a different version online this week from a New Testament scholar, and I like this one probably even more. Same verse says, "And we know that in all things God works together with those who love Him to bring about what is good." I like that one. In all things, in our struggles, in our pain, in the junk in our life, God is working with us as followers of Christ to help each other through this time. God not only is there present during our mourning, God is with us and with other people and helping us all together work as a loving body of Christ through our suffering, through our pain, through the bad times. This is not simply God causing bad things to happen and it's going to turn out okay in the end. This isn't God just being there and making something good happen out of bad. This is God making sure that we have other people, other Christians, together, united, helping one another, loving one another, seeing each other through these difficult times. And I like that. And we witnessed that half an hour ago as we prayed for one another. So which version is right? Well, there's people that know a lot more Greek than I do that can't decide which one is right. They can't come together on an agreement. So I'm not going to tell you which one is right, but I'm going to say this. I think there's some truth in each one of those statements. I believe that God works for us, God works with us, and God works through us. And the second point that I want to lift out of our scripture this morning is that God is the ultimate teammate. Beginning in verse 31, Paul writes, what then are we to say about these things? If God is for us, who is against us? He who did not withhold his own son, but gave him up for us, will he not also give us everything else? Again, I like this scripture. If God is for us, who can be against us? That is reassuring to me. And God will give us everything else? That's good to know. Especially in times financially when things are difficult, when we're experiencing an economic downturn, to know that God will give us everything else and that whoever, if God is for us, no one can be against us. That's helpful. I'm just not sure I believe it. When Paul says, if God is for us, who can be against us? I don't think he's saying that we won't face opposition in this world. Because I think it's obvious that we will face opposition in this world. Paul knew he would face opposition in the world. And I don't think Paul was a liar. I think he was trying to say something more with this. I mean, think about what all Paul had to go through. How many times was Paul persecuted for his faith? How many times did Paul get locked up and thrown in jail because he was preaching the gospel? How many times was Paul dealt lashes by the whip? Paul was murdered. He was killed. He was martyred for his belief. If God is for us, who can be against us? Well, a lot of people can be against us. I'll come back to that in just a moment. And the other thing was, will he not also give us everything? Well, obviously he doesn't give us all the physical or all the physical things that we want, like material wealth and bigger homes and faster cars. God has never promised us that he's going to bless us abundantly more and more than is necessary. I don't believe in the prosperity gospel, that if you follow Christ, you will be given abundantly more than you need on this earth. But I also think that he's not saying that Paul, that God's going to give us everything, even if it's spiritual and physical, because that's not true. Paul asked 3 times to have his thorn in his flesh removed. And what happened 3 times? God said no. So again, Paul's not talking about these things that we might think of right off the bat, but he's thinking of something that transcends this world. He's thinking of something that goes beyond the spirit, this physical realm that we live in right now. If we read 1 Corinthians chapter 13, what does he talk about the things that will endure? He names 3 things. Faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. These 3 things will endure. Paul says that God will give us these things. He will give us everything else we need. And I think as I spend more and more time thinking about it, that's all we need. Faith, hope, and love. God will give that to us. So I come back to this question of if God is for us, who can be against us? And obviously, we as Christians have a lot against us in this world. And I try to think how best to illustrate this, and I know many of you realize that I am a fan of sports. And being from Northeast Ohio, I am a Cleveland Cavaliers basketball fan. And the Cavaliers have perhaps the best player in the NBA, maybe in the world. What's his name? I forgot. Anybody know?
Shaquille
O'Neal. LeBron James, thank you. I had forgotten. No, of course not. That's LeBron James, people. He plays for my Cleveland Cavaliers, grew up in Akron, Ohio. That's like 25 minutes away from my house. The guy that married my cousin actually was a coach of his at St. Vincent St. Mary's, but I'm killing time here. I should move along. LeBron is great, and I don't mean to worship him here in this house of God. But the guy is 6'8". He's built like a truck. He can fly through the air with the greatest of ease. He's a great athlete. I didn't touch the rim. That's about it. And this guy's up there dunking like crazy. I don't understand it. I'm amazed at what this guy can do. This year he was named the MVP of the NBA, the most valuable player. I think he led the league in scoring. He led the Cleveland Cavaliers to their best schedule ever, or the best schedule, the best record ever. And it included the best record this year in the NBA. I am pretty impressed with this guy. And if he went into the playoffs with his team, everybody had the Cavaliers penciled in as the National Basketball Association championship. And if you didn't have them penciled in, there's probably something wrong with you, because these guys just stormed through the regular season. But what happened when they got into the Eastern Conference Finals? Now, LeBron did a good job. He still scored like 40 points a night. But the rest of the team stunk it up. And it shows you that one guy can't carry an entire team through the NBA playoffs and into the championship. So why do I tell that story? Because God is kind of that way also. God is like the greatest teammate ever. But it's kind of the reverse. LeBron and the Cavaliers had a great regular season and then stunk it up in the playoffs. As Christians, as God's teammates, this life is kind of difficult sometimes. Sometimes it seems to stink for us. But the difference is when we get to the playoffs, when we get to the finals, when we get to the end, we win. We win because we are on God's team. We win because love wins. God is love, and therefore those of us who are followers of God, we win. Love defeats evil. Love defeats hatred. Love defeats bigotry. Love defeats that guy that's giving you the finger on the freeway on the way home from work. Love defeats all these things because God is love. And while I had Cleveland Cavaliers penciled in for the NBA champions at the beginning of the playoffs, I know that I can write in ink to stamp it in that God wins at the end. We have it in ink. It's written in the Bible. God wins. God is the ultimate teammate. We want to be on God's team. So my third and final point for today is that we are more than conquerors. Picking up in verse 37, Paul writes, "No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who has loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers nor height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord." Amen and amen. I love that. But then how do we apply that to those who are hurting, to those who are suffering? Again, we think about these six people that sat here in the front pew who received anointing, the people that are suffering from various things. I think of Norman as he's probably with his niece right now as she's in a coma. I hope you got that message. It's all in your bulletin. Does he know God is with him right now? Can he feel that? When I think back of all the stuff that we went through in the last 3 years, as I've been here now for almost 3 years at this church, but I look out on this congregation and I've seen hurt, and I've seen pain, I've seen a lot of struggles. From Jordan to Florence to Peggy, Jim and Janie, we have seen so much hurt and so much pain. How can we maintain any sort of faith in God through all of this? I think the only way we can maintain faith, and the way that I have maintained faith, is by knowing that we are more than conquerors. Even though these times are difficult and very trying, and I wouldn't wish them upon anybody, I know that in the end, love wins. There is nothing that can separate us from the love of God. There is nothing that can come between us and God. Neither height nor depth or anything else in all creation, not angels or rulers or things present or things to come, none of these things will separate us from the love of God. Now, many people have asked me where Sonia is today. And I told you, she's in Ohio. She's spending time with her sister and her family before her sister moves to Omaha this coming week. Omaha, my friends, is a long ways away. The star on the right is Scranton, Virginia. The star on the left is Omaha, Nebraska. Any guesses as to how far that is from Scranton, Virginia to Omaha, Nebraska?
2 days.
Not quite a weekend trip, is it?
No. It's about 12, 13 miles, somewhere around there. About 1,400 miles.
You were closer to the beginning. It was really close to Toronto.
About 2 hours.
What, 2 hours? By plane. 1,158 miles one way. It's not a weekend trip. You don't just run out to see your sister whenever she lives in Omaha, Nebraska, like Sonia's sister Stacy will be doing for the next 3 years. You don't make weekend trips. You don't just drop in and say, "Hey, I was in the neighborhood, just thought I'd drop by." These girls have enjoyed living close together for the last 4 years, Stacy being in Charlottesville, Sonia now in Scanton. They met together weekly. They'd meet together for Bible study, get together and cook, and they just enjoyed being in each other's company. Now, do you think that 1,158 miles will stop the love that those two sisters have for one another? Do you think it'll break off when Stacy moves next week? Well, nice knowing you, it was nice loving you. Have a good life. No, it won't. Because there's something special about love. And that is that love doesn't understand distances. Love doesn't understand boundaries. Love doesn't understand all those lines and the mountains and the borders and the mountains and the plains. And love just doesn't get that. Love transcends those distances. Love can overcome those things. And we're talking about human love here. Our flaw, our love that is not perfect. And if our love can overcome that great distance of 1,158 miles one way, then how much more will God's love overcome all the junk in our life? We are more than conquerors in God because God's love is amazing. God's love is perfect. God's love will transcend anything that we step before. So for those people that have struggled in this congregation, in this city, in this world, those people that have felt like God is distant, that God is not with them, and you ask the question, just like my friend who I called Job earlier asks me, and he says, Kevin, where is God? My answer is, God is with us. He's loving us, caring for us. And I don't understand why it doesn't always feel that way, why sometimes we feel so separated from God. I don't understand that, but I feel very confident that God is there because nothing can separate us from the love of God. And I am convinced that God cries. There is nothing in the Bible that says God cries, but I am convinced that God cries every day. How could God, who is love, as 1 John 4:8 tells us, how could a God who is love, who is always with us, not cry all the time? Because that God is going through all of this junk, all of this stuff, with us every step of the way, holding our hand whether we know it or not. God experiences all of our pain, all of our sorrow, all of our hurt. And we wonder why God doesn't just make it end, especially if God is going through this with us, God is experiencing this firsthand, why didn't God just put an end to it? And I don't know. But what I do know is that love wins. Now, Rob Bell, who is a pastor in Michigan, in Grand Rapids, Michigan, at Marshall Baptist Church, he says that the cross is God's way of saying love wins. And that's where I get the title of my sermon for today. The cross is God's way of saying that love wins. Remember that Jesus went up against all sorts of stuff. He was persecuted. He was tried. He was beaten. He was whipped and scourged. He was spit upon and stripped down to his underwear, if not less. He was humiliated and nailed to a cross. He was beaten in every sort of way. And what happened at the last moment? He died. Now, we know that Jesus could have at any time called down legions of angels to relieve himself of all this pain and anguish. And we know that Jesus could have allowed his disciples to fight off those that were trying to arrest him. But instead, he said, no. This needs to be done. Jesus confronted every kind of evil by allowing that evil to act upon him. And he died on the cross. But on the third day, he rose again from the dead. And in rising again from the dead, he said, evil, I have seen you, looked you in the face, I've experienced you in every way, and I have beaten you because love wins. So when we struggle to understand why things aren't going the way we want them to go in our lives, why things hurt, why people in our lives are struggling, I know it might not always be helpful to remember this, but remember that God's love is with us. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. Paul says, I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, or anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Easter morning proves to us that God wins. Easter morning proves to us that love wins. I've asked Glenn to lead us in number 67 from the Blue Book as our hymn of response. Now I want you to turn with me to number 67 before I close in prayer. I've asked him to lead us in verses 1 and 3. And since I've shared with you several times that this is some of my favorite scripture in all the Bible, I'll tell you now, this is one of my favorite songs in all of hymnody. And I like verse 3. I just love it so much, so poetic. Could we with ink the ocean fill, and were the skies of parchment made, were every stock on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above would drain the oceans dry, nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. Let's pray. Loving God, you have promised us that you will always be there for us. And Lord, we don't understand why you allow certain things to happen, why you allow us to hurt. But thank you for loving us in spite of all that. Thank you for giving us the promise that in the end, we will win because you win, and love wins. Help us to extend that same love to all the people we come in contact with. Help us, Lord, to be true followers of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.